the Public News Service Daily Newscast, November the 21st, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. Communities across Colorado continue to mourn the deaths of at least five people after a 22-year-old gunman allegedly opened fire inside an LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado Springs on Saturday.
District Attorney Michael Allen told reporters he has a strong interest in prosecuting the case, including as a possible hate crime, because it's important for the community to see that the perpetrator is held accountable.
The current bias-motivated crime statute in the state of Colorado provides some elevation, but will not elevate beyond what will likely be charges in this case, which will likely include first-degree murder, extreme indifference murder, those types of charges, which are all Class 1 felony murder charges.
Allen says everyone charged with crimes is presumed to be innocent until proved guilty. In a statement, Colorado Governor Jared Polis said, "My heart breaks for the family and friends of those lost, injured, and traumatized in this horrific shooting." He also told Colorado Springs Mayor John Suthers that he would make every state resource available to local law enforcement. I'm Eric Galatas.
According to data collected by the Human Rights Campaign, before Saturday's shooting, at least 32 transgender and gender nonconforming people have been killed in 2022, although the actual numbers are likely much higher due to underreporting. This Thanksgiving, you can fight climate change just by composting the food scraps from your family gathering.
A study done by CalRecycle, a state agency, found that one-third of the material in our landfills is compostable. Now, a new law requires all municipalities to divert 75% of their compostable waste. So, cities are implementing curbside composting programs and distributing kitchen compost pails. Robert Reed is a spokesperson for Recology, the company that pioneered food scrap collection for composting in San Francisco back in 1996.
Cities up and down the state are letting people put their food scraps in those green bins along with sticks and leaves so we can keep these materials out of landfills and instead turn them into nutrient-rich compost that goes on to local farms.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Credit for the story goes to Hannah Wallace for the site Reasons to be Cheerful, Solutions Journalism Network, and California News Service. Now from CNN, former U.S. President Trump's Twitter account has been reinstated on the platform. The account, which Twitter banned following the January 6th attack on the Capitol, restored after Twitter CEO and new owner Elon Musk posted a poll on Twitter Friday night asking the platform's users if Trump should be reinstated. CNN reports that Musk says the final poll results on Saturday night showed 51.8% in favor and 48.2% opposed. This is PNS. While community activists in some of Boston's Southside neighborhoods have declared a state of emergency following a string of fatal shootings, one mother is working to help the grieving families left behind.
Chaplain Clementina Sherry is the president and CEO of the Lewis D. Brown Peace Institute, named after her 15-year-old son who was fatally shot in Dorchester in 1993. Sherry says a long-term and sustainable public health approach is needed to end the violence.
Right now, as a culture, we're still investing in the aftermath. We're still investing in prison, police, and prosecution.
It's estimated that for every one homicide victim, at least 10 surviving family members are affected by the trauma. So far this year, 37 people have been killed by homicide in Boston alone. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
Environmental groups are calling efforts over the past half century to restore the wild turkey population from the brink of extinction, one of America's greatest wildlife success stories.
Conservationists are now calling on Congress to pass pending legislation that would help states, territories, and tribes duplicate those efforts to save hundreds of threatened species. The bipartisan Recovering America's Wildlife Act would allocate $1.4 billion annually to protect fish, wildlife, and plants for future generations. John Cantor, a senior biologist with the National Wildlife Federation, says it's a matter of scaling up current efforts to protect more species.
What we're doing here is using this tremendous conservation success story as a springboard to talk about the next generation of conservation success stories.
By 1910, there were no more wild turkeys in Illinois because of overhunting and loss of habitat. But starting in 1950, an Illinois Department of Natural Resources program to reintroduce the birds succeeded in restoring the population to every county in the state. Mark Richardson reporting.
Finally, our Alex Gonzalez lets us know that the Bureau of Land Management says it will prioritize habitat connectivity of public lands in Arizona and other states to improve migration routes for wildlife.
The BLM administers over 12 million acres of public land in Arizona. The agency has published a document that directs state offices to assess wildlife corridors on BLM lands and take steps to safeguard landscapes and migration routes that are crucial to native species. Director of the Arizona chapter of the Sierra Club, Sandy Barr, says they're happy to see the BLM take the initiative to help mitigate the effects of habitat fragmentation.
This drives home the importance of those lands and that there is a role in protecting those for habitat and for this habitat connectivity.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported, on a great radio station's your favorite podcast platform. Find our trusted indicators at publicnewsservice.org.